How you doing tonight? Did you make it through hump day, Wednesday? The rest of your week's going to be awesome because you put God first tonight. During the worship, when I came in tonight, I saw my childhood best friend is a member of our church now, and I went to high school with both he and his lovely wife, Diana, but Ray McLean. Ray, would you wave your hand, everybody? Ray Owens, I always get him mixed up. He's either an ophthalmologist or an optometrist. So he's one of those things. But he has a award-winning eyeglass store on Thomas Road called Ray's. And they're always winning awards. And if you need glasses and Jesus hasn't healed you, go there. And I just get bigger Bible print. And someone was looking at my phone, you know, the font on my phone. Your phone font's so big, I know. I'm avoiding the inevitable. But Ray, I felt like I had a word for you and Miss Diana. Lord, I thank you for Ray and Diana McLean. Thank you, God, for your love for them and their family. And I heard the Lord say, this season of spiritual warfare, where God has helped you triumph, where God has helped you win a great victory, where God has helped you move ahead and really break through a barrier that was trying to affect not just you, Ray, but all the men, all the members of your family. I heard the Lord say, a great blessing is going to begin to flow in all of your family because of your obedience to God, because of your hunger for God, for both of you. So I saw seven, must have been grandsons. I just saw them lined up, and God put his hand in every one of them. They're going to be mighty in the earth for signs and wonders for the purpose of God. One of your sons is going to rise up in politics. The other son's going to is being stirred toward ministry. God's awakening his heart. Miss Diana, I heard the Lord say that there's an inheritance coming to you, that you've been godly, that you've been so strong, that you've handled some difficult things these last 5 years with really a Christ-like grace. And I heard the Lord say, out of your side of the family, a release of inheritance, unexpected release of property, a supernatural access for a whole different dimension of life. God's going to use you as a couple in outstanding ways in these years in your life. And just when you're thinking about kind of pulling back, God's going to ignite a fire in you. And all kinds of things, travel, ministry, impacting and blessing so many places. So God, thank you for your blessing on the McLean family in Jesus' name. I want to... One of our pastors is here tonight from CFTN Chandler, which is heading up on almost a year old now. Pastor Cal Whitner, would you come up, Pastor Cal, and just greet everybody for a moment? I know I didn't warn you, but he's just doing a phenomenal job in the city of Chandler. And so if you know some folks out there and in Chandler looking for a church, make sure you tell them about CFTN Chandler.
Well, it's awesome to be here with you guys tonight. I bought some of my leaders from CFTN Chandler and also my sons here, so it's very special. But it's just an honor to be here with you guys. We love to come and fellowship with you guys and worship with you guys. How's it going, Pastor Mark? So it's a blessing. God's doing amazing things in Chandler. We're so blessed to be a part of the CFTN family. A radical youth is being raised up. People are being saved, discipled, healed. And so it's just an honor to be here with you guys. And we're with you in spirit every week. I know why we're on this earth. That's not physically possible, but we are with you in prayer. And thanks for being who you are.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Cal. Cal's doing a great job. And you're going to hear more and more awesome testimonies from the Chandler CFTN campus and the ministries that this flow out of there and out of his life. He has a real apostolic call to plant churches, and this won't be the only church he plants in these next years in his life. So very honored to be a part and connected and partner with Cal and Bethany and their family and their ministry. I'm continuing my series tonight on a whole nother level. And our main text, and that will be from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, the story of David, how he responded to a horrific failure in his journey. Verse 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. So David, who could have anything, back there kings were like, I suppose, dictators in some parts of the world today. They had no one to resist them, no one to really balance out their choices, desires, and ambitions. So David's king, he's doing good, but he sees Bathsheba. He goes to her. They have a adulterous affair, and she gets pregnant. To cover it up, he brings her husband Uriah the Hittite home, and Uriah was such a righteous man, he wouldn't, because his men were in battle, he wouldn't go into his wife. He just slept out front. And so David then had to orchestrate the death of Uriah. And so one sin led to another. And Uriah is killed on the battlefield. And David thinks, well, I did it. I did. I got away with sin. No one knew. Then Nathan came into the court. Yard of the king and said, I've got a parable for you from the Lord. And he said, there was a rich guy with 1,000 sheep, and there was a poor guy with 1 sheep. And the rich guy was going to have a party and show hospitality to a friend. And instead of using one of his 1,000 sheep, he went and stole the only sheep that the poor man had. And David stood up and became angry. He said, that man deserves to die. And Nathan said, I'm glad you feel so, because you're that man. See, we hate in others what we harbor or hide in us. And so David then, so his choice was, how do I respond to sin being exposed? And so David said, I have sinned against the Lord. So David was a good repenter. Amen? God said about David, even in the New Testament, that dude's a man after my own heart. Well, David was a murderer, a liar, an adulterer. He had some significant, sins in his life. But David had a heart that was tender. Like Kwame said, his heart was tender to God, and he responded to conviction. So we never want to get in the place where we are no longer convictable, where we no longer feel the pricking of our heart. When we've committed sin, we always want to be tenderhearted so the Holy Spirit can lead us back to conviction, brings us back to God. Condemnation pushes us away from God. So David said, I've sinned. Nathan said, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. So you won't be punished for your sin. However, because this deed you have done has given great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that is born to you will die. Nathan leapt. So David, verse 16, pleaded with God for the child. And so he just escaped a death sentence, but David knows God so well. Remember, he wrote, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And so David's appealing to God's mercy to suspend God's justice or judgment. And so he cries out to the Lord for the child. He fasted and went in and lay on the ground all night long. So the elders of his house, verse 17, arose and went in to David to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. So sometimes people that love us want to help us and try to pull us back up, but sometimes hurt and devastation is so overwhelming that no one can fix us but God. Y'all with me? And sometimes you've got to be careful how you relate to people that are down, that are hurting. Don't say things like, just get over it, or blah, 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 or time heals all wounds. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Jesus heals all wounds. That's, you got to get that. So they're trying to help him. They're trying to pull him back up, but he's not responding. He's still interceding. Now, he's going to go 7 days without food and probably without water, really to the brink of his own physical jeopardy. He would not eat food. Then on the 7th day came to pass that the child died. The servants of David were afraid to tell him the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do some harm. So David was an incredible dude, a worshiping warrior. And in his lifetime, he killed giants and slain hundreds, now thousands of men in the battlefield. And they're thinking, man, those guys are drawing straws over there for who gets to tell David the bad news. I'm not going to tell him. Chop off your head, you know. And so they're over there whispering in the corner. And so something happens, though. When David saw them whispering, David perceived The child was dead. Just a simple point before I get to my main points. So David perceived that something, so God's given you by the Holy Spirit this internal GPS system that allows you to perceive things. And so your perception will always determine your direction. Okay? So David perceives it, that it's dead, that it's unfixable, that this season's ended abruptly with the death of his child. And he's now grasping that. And so David said, is the child dead? And they said, yes, he is dead. Now here's my whole sermon, verse 20. David arose from the ground. It doesn't matter how many people try to pick you up. You're not going to get up until you decide to get up. And David had this capacity, this resiliency in his soul and his spirit to bounce back. See, he wasn't bouncing back from someone else's problem or someone else's issue. This was his issue. And sometimes the most devastating, the most draining, the most weighting things in life are our own convictions, our own perceptions of our failures and sins. But you can't, listen to me, if God forgives you, you better forgive yourself. Pastor, you know, I've counseled hundreds of people about this issue, about abortion. Pastor, I've had an abortion and I can't get over it. Let me tell you, dear sister, abortion, of course, it takes a life. And that's the main part of it, the weightiness of it, is it takes the life that God would give. But listen to me, if God forgives you, how dare you not forgive yourself? The devil is a liar. He will try to create in your mind a sophisticated rationalization for you to live your whole life burdened about something you've been forgiven for. If God's forgiven you, forgive yourself and forgive everyone else, okay? So David got up. Someone say, I'm getting up. He washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes and went to the house of the Lord and worshiped. Now, there's my point. My first point is get up. So in life is going to bring you to the place where either your failure or an unexpected event or people's betrayal or the enemy's attack, it's going to knock you down. It's going to cause a discouraging, disappointing, disillusioning season in your life. And so inside of your heart, inside of your mind, the moment you came to Christ, God gave you a champion spirit. And a champion is not someone who never fails. It's someone who never, it's someone who refuses to stay down. Y'all with me? I'm a champion. Well, Pastor, have you ever fallen? I have fallen more. I've been knocked down so many times. I'm familiar with every part of the ground.
Oh, hello again. I see you're still here.
I know the rocks by name. Oh, hello. Yeah, recognize you. Champions aren't people that have never been knocked down. They're people that refuse to stay down. So in your DNA, as a believer, in your DNA as a person, been to the hospital, you know, hundreds of times praying for people. And every now and then, I've heard doctors say this on several occasions. Well, the only thing keeping them alive is they have a strong will to live. I got 18 diseases racking them, and everybody's shaking their head. Well, I don't know what's keeping her alive. She doesn't want to die. Y'all with me? And so there's something that God entrusted with you when he gave you a will. And when you set your will in alignment with God's will, nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you, okay? Isaiah says it like this, arise and shine, your light has come. Talking to people that were in Babylon in captivity, discouraged, defeated, devastated people. And it said, your seasons are changing. It's time to get up. Arise and shine, your light has come. For us as believers, it means our light is Jesus. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So God's given you the capacity that you have to get this. I suffered a very serious manic depression for 2.5 years. And it was no amount of deliverance ministry or counseling ministry. I believe in both those things was going to help me until I decided to get help. Until I decided, you know what, I'm going to get up from this. And one day, I just remember the day I was having dinner with my four little blonde babies and my wife and looking into the eyes of my children, and I began to see sadness come into their world because I couldn't keep it out of my world. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to be that guy that all my kids have to struggle through a lifetime of therapy because they grew up with a depressed father. I'm going to beat this thing down. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Jesus is telling the parable, the great parable of the prodigal son. It's really about the prodigal love of God. And so the prodigal runs away and spends his inheritance on prodigal living. And the Bible says when he came to himself, he said, you know what, people, the servants at my daddy's home live better than the princes out here in the world. I'm going to go home. I will arise the day that Christ revealed himself to you. Do you remember that day? If you were young, a child, or an adult, the day you accepted Christ as your Savior, did you know it didn't matter if every demon in hell was trying to keep you away, lined up down the aisle, saying, don't. Your will overpowered the enemy's power, the enemy's strategy, the enemy's intention. God's given us the gift of the capacity of our decision-making. Now, what happens in life is when people become devastated, often their wills become neutralized, and people have a hard time making decisions. Y'all with me? Come on, you know, especially charismatic people sometimes can feel like that they can't do anything without a prophecy. Well, Lord, looking at the closet. Well, Lord, tonight, what dress would you have me wear? The red one or the blue one? What? And so the Lord wants you to be a person that can make decisions. So you know you're stressed when you're having a hard time making decisions. And so God wants to lift your stress and put you back, get your will back and engage. The book of Psalms 37 says this, the steps of a good man, a good woman. Someone say, that's me. Verse 23, Psalm 37, the steps of a good person are ordained, ordered by the Lord. That means God's in charge of your journey. And God delights in his way. God loves the purpose, the plan, the destiny, the journey of your story. And a part of your journey, verse 24, though he or she may fall. So God doesn't give up on your purpose because you have failure. Y'all with me? See, the thing about God, one of his attributes is omniscience. That means all-knowing, foreknowledge about the future. He knows everything about everything. Okay, so God knew all your weaknesses. He still called you. God knew you'd had struggles. He still saved you. See, our failures don't surprise God. What surprises God is when we stay down. Though he fall, he won't be utterly cast down, so God softens the blow of whatever knocks us down, discouragement, whatever's defeating us. God always cushions the fall for his children. He will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Proverbs 24:16 says, the righteous man, the righteous woman, the righteous person may fall seven times. Uchi mama. Seven times. Well, there's 7 days a week. So it's a portrait of a cycle of failure. Though he falls seven times, the righteous, they're still falling. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, David's sin. The church, we're so good about, you know, declaring, recognizing fleshly sins. We're really bad about recognizing the spiritual sins, like pride. And some big, big ones like that, okay? But whatever knocks you down, the enemy, sin, circumstances, here's what God says. Though he falls seven times, he gets up again. He rises again. He rises again. That's your story. Unafraid of this year. If something goes wrong, so what? God will make it go right. The only thing God needs from you is for you not to quit. Micah 7:8 says, Don't rejoice over me, O thou mine enemy. When I fall, I will arise. Someone say, I'm getting up. So God, there are parts of your life this year God wants to resurrect. Business, ministry, life, relationships. Stuff maybe that you feel disqualified or discouraged, and God says, I'm not done there. Well, Pastor, my marriage fell apart, and I feel really bad for you, but what about the future? God doesn't throw people away. God doesn't give up on people. Your story's not over, and the best is yet to come. Okay, second point. So David got up, he arose from the ground, he washed and anointed himself. My second point to you is simple. Wash it off. Wash it off. So David's laying on the ground. The ground is the earth. He's covered with sackcloth and ashes. And because he's mourning, he's asking God not to punish someone else for his own sin. He's interceding. So he's on the ground. He's in the dirt. He's covered with dirt. The servants can't understand him. Why would a man of such stature lower himself? Because God always responds to humility. He loves humility because it's such a rare human commodity. And the higher a person goes in life, the harder it is for them to find humility. In a few weeks, God willing, I'm going to do a prophetic series, I think, on Sunday nights for quite a while, maybe 3 or 4 months. But I'm going to give you some stories that will blow your mind, like the story from Guatemala. When I called out a man in the audience and said, you're going to be the next president of this country. His name was Jorge Serrano, and he was at that point just a diplomat. He had less than a 2% recognition. The election is 2 months away. You'll be the next president. He fell on the floor, began to weep, came down and just lay prostrate. So humble, so humble, so humble. Well, one by one, the 5 or 6 people in front of him, one scandal after another. He won because he was the only one left standing. He became president of that country. Now listen to me, I went back about 3 years later, and the Lord told me to go back. My friend Dick Bernil invited me. The Lord didn't tell me why. On the airplane, he told me why. He said, the man that you called and anointed to be king, president of this country, has fallen into pride, and I'm gonna remove his candle if he doesn't repent before me. Prophecies that I never give out, really, but God called me as a prophet to that country, so I did it. So I'm standing there. Dick Bernil brought me to that meeting, and Dick doesn't know what I'm going to do. And, of course, Pastor, the president's very glad to see me because he's there because of a word. And he said, Pastor, maybe you have something to say? I got on my knees before him, and I said, the Lord's going to strip your kingdom from you. I said, here are the names of the 3 generals that are going to do it. I named the generals that would betray him by name. And the prophecy was, because of your pride. I think it was 3 weeks later when they drove him out of office, put a verdict on him. He's lived out of the country since that time, 20 years over. Because pride will ruin everything God ever gives you. And the hardest thing in life is not failure. The hardest thing in life is success. Can you be a good person with a lot of money? Can you be a good person? Can you be humble to others and not haughty and arrogant? Not look at people as second-class citizens? Okay, wasn't my sermon. Wash it off. Tell your neighbor, wash it off. My wife is a clean person. And so our house is really clean. And so because I love my wife and want her to like me, I've adapted from my bachelor days of being kind of sloppy. When I was a college student, I had 30 pairs of underwear. And I could go the whole month and only have to do laundry once a month. But let's just say the apartment got a little cluttered, a little messy. I played sports, you know, just was, the, you know, that kind of guy. I married this really clean woman, and so she's, so when our kids would come to dinner, our boys would be outside, you know, playing. She'd look at us, Matthew, your hands are dirty. I washed them. Go wash them again. Go wash off. I don't want anything from out there in here. And God says to you in this season, don't let anything from that last season come into this season. Wash it off. Here's what Paul said, Philippians 3, forgetting those things that are behind me and reaching for those things that are before, I press for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor, how do I let it go? Forgive people and let it go. Don't be tormented by your past. Don't, listen, the devil strategically makes people consumed with things they can't change. So David said, while the baby was alive, I prayed for God to heal him. But after he died, I can't change that. So you can't live in chronic mourning over stuff you can't change. It happened. It's over. Let it go. Let it go. Okay? Number three, David then, after he washed his face, anointed himself, he changed his clothes. Now, this, welcome to a new year. But there is not a new year fairy that sprinkles special blessings on you because it's a new year. A new day. You're going to have the same old issues in a new year until you get a new mind. And in the new year and in your season, change your clothes is changing your mind, changing your attitude, changing your self-identity, changing your perception. So what you need in this new year is a new mind, a new perception, a new discernment, a new revelation, a new expectation. And that's the beauty of the kingdom. God makes us new by making our minds new. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren and sisters and everyone, and by the mercies of God, that you yield your bodies to God, a living sacrifice, which is your holy and acceptable, reasonable act of worship. The least you can do for all God's given you is give God your body. So let me help you. God wants your body. He might be the only one in this season of your life, but God wants your body. Now, you can't have authority on the earth without functioning through a body. Okay, so there's angels, there's demons, there's God, there's the devil, all the spiritual world. But for any of them to accomplish a purpose, it has to happen through a person, through a body. God ordained that, gave to man dominion. And so God wants your body, the devil wants your body. Who's going to control your body? Well, the next verse says, be not conformed, Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, test, know, experience what is that good and acceptable will of God. So the more your life changes when your mind changes. It's amazing now, as we study the complexity of the human mind. Your brain is the organ, your mind is the function, and God's given. It's amazing now. We know by thoughts, your body responds to thought. And a happy thought, for example, releases healthy, healing, encouraging, and even exhilarating chemical into your body. A sad thought releases the opposite. So at the root of many people's physical ailments, there is a real disease, but often there is a mental genesis to it. It doesn't matter if you call it psychosomatic. It just means this. When you get your mind right, everything changes. Amen? God's will for your life is to get your mind right about everything in your life, every part of your life. And so David changed his garments. He's changing his attitude. This is your year for a new attitude. This is your year for a kingdom identity, to absolutely embrace who God's made you to be. I am who God tells me I am. Amen. I'll be talking about this on Sunday. Can hardly wait. Really, really focusing on this, because if it's important, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So here's how Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Christ said, the problem isn't your words, the problem is your thoughts. And your words are just an expression of what's happening in the internal life of your heart. So if you want to change your words, you got to change your thoughts, your heart. It all begins there. So the kingdom of God is a kingdom of thought. It goes into our life and helps our minds to be renewed, so we think in alignment, agreement with God. Amen. Just some newsflash. God loves you. He loves you so much. He's contending to free you from your stinking thinking. Okay? You have to get this. Many times in life, the greatest enemy you ever have is yourself. The greatest enemy. So we want to let our minds, our hearts, our thoughts be renewed by the Word of God, anointed by the Spirit of God, until we are changed. Can I have an amen? Proverbs 4, verse 23 says this: keep your heart, or guard your heart, with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So everything comes from the inside, okay? So the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were just occupied and really overly zealous about external things, about eating and drinking, how you look, certain behaviors. But the kingdom of God is an internal thing. It's on the inside. See, when God changes you on the inside, he doesn't have to demand that you change on the outside. The Old Testament, people were expected to change without, it was behavior modification. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. But New Testament, we're changed from the inside. Whenever you demand someone to change by religious compulsion before God's changed their hearts, you put them under bondage. So I grew up in Pentecost when they would actually measure the length of a woman's skirt. Sister, your skirt's too short. Right? Sharia law. We have all these things in church. We look at people and if you just give Jesus time with people, he'll change them. A couple years ago, I got announced that a pastor, one of your ushers, after the offering, was in the parking lot smoking. Oh, I'm horrified. Well, we allow smokers to usher here. And my belief is that Jesus can set someone free from smoking. And so smoking won't send you to hell. It'll send you early to heaven. That's how, you know what I mean? It's not going to. So on the inside, so all through our journey, so David changed his garment. So your year is dependent on your thinking. Can you imagine? Mary was out. She came home with a couple of lottery tickets this afternoon. And I have to confess my sins before you and well, actually, her sins. Yes, my hands are free. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so the lottery is just, you know, fever pitch, you know, heading toward $2 billion. Oh, but God would have us have the same kind of excitement thinking about the lottery gives us, thinking about Jesus and his kingdom. What kind of great dreams are waiting to be awakened in your heart? I call this room the dream room. or God awakens the dreams of his people, the destinies. Okay, the last thing, David then worshiped. He went to the house of God and worshiped. So my whole, I'm sorry it's taking so long. Now I get to my main sermon. So what happens is in your kind of progress with God, the benefit, listen, the extraordinary benefits of worship are limitless. So David says, I'm going to get my mind right. I'm going to get up. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to get my worship back. See, the faster after a disappointing or devastating season, the faster you can worship, the faster you can recover. Worship heals us. Why? God's presence heals us. And there's something about, that's why worship is such an important feature in our behavior. There's nothing here that we elevate more than worship, because I know in encountering God in worship, all kinds of awesome things can happen in your life. Wonderful things. So David said, it's been a whole week since I worshiped. My heart's still broken. And I'm not going to allow this season to last any longer. And he goes to the house of God. I'm sure with tears cascading down his cheeks, he worshiped God for being good, even when life had turned bad. And the faster you can shorten these episodes, the quicker you, when you can worship when your heart is breaking, you create a contradiction in the spirit and all kinds of miraculous outcomes happen. See, God says in Isaiah, twice he said, I am the high and holy one. I dwell in an exalted high place. Oh, by the way, I dwell with them that are broken and contrite. Wow. Something about brokenness. Well, he wrote, of course, Psalm 51 in this very episode. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. A great restoration psalm. So David worships. So listen to me. Don't let anything in life steal your worship. Don't let the enemy plant seeds. Now, David was going to worship God for being good even after God had brought judgment to his household. Wow, it's kind of a heavy, heavy deal. Worship takes us places we don't deserve to be. Worship gives us things we don't deserve to have. David has a New Testament encounter, an Old Testament covenant because of worship. So David worships God. Now, you see, God's watching this. This guy gets up. Everybody say, I'm getting up. He washes off ashes, puts on his cologne. He's not going to, his destiny doesn't want him to look like his history. And so... You can't go to a job interview with 7 years of frustration about what's not happened. Yeah, I need this job. Bad. Your next season, you can only enter into it with the appropriate attitude that unlocks its benefits and blessings. David worships God, crying out to God. He marries that girl. He marries Bathsheba, makes it legit. I just want to say to all of you single people, make it legit. Well, Pastor, we love each other. I know you do. David loved Bathsheba before he married her, but his relationship with her wasn't blessed until he married her. He has sex with the same woman that he was judged for as a married man. They have a baby. named Solomon, the greatest king, the wisest man. The prophet rushes in. Here comes the prophet, the same guy that killed the last baby. Here comes the prophet. He's rushing in. He says, wait. God has named this baby too. God calls him Jedediah, the much loved one. Oh, you got to get this right. If you can just keep worshiping God, he'll take your worst season and it'll turn it into your best season. And God blessed, sanctioned. And how did David got there? He worshiped his way there. He was resilient. He didn't hold back. But he encountered a loving God, a living God. And God raised up in his own family from a disappointing... Oh, I had a couple, they were telling me how they met. Well, we met in the bar. They were like whispering, we met in the bar, and you know, we had, they were like whispering. Listen, doesn't matter how you met, once you brought God into it, you with me? Once you brought God into it, the outcome changed. The outcome changed. David worships. God heals. God ordains. I just want to say to you, I believe in Jesus' name that this is a year of incredible new beginnings in old endings. God's going to take bad endings and turn them into great beginnings. God's going to do some phenomenal things. It's that, see, there are parts of your life that you think that can't ever be fixed, repaired, restored, renewed, but God's interested in those places. He's going to do a new thing in an old place until he's satisfied that it's become a good thing. And that is to declare over your life, God's taking you to another level. And the thing that's going to get you there is worship. So let's have some fun for a minute. With the Micah statement, Micah 7:8 says this, don't rejoice over me, over them, O thou my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. So everybody stand up. We're just going to do this little prophetic exercise. The Lord showed me a few years ago. I love to do it because it gives us a chance to act out something. And so I'm just going to have you repeat after me that scripture. And when we come to the part, when I fall, then just don't fall, but just gently sit down in your seat. And then we'll pause for a minute, everybody's sitting. Then we're going to shout, I will arise. And when we shout, I will arise, then jump back up. And so here's my significance to you. This is the year you're getting back up. This is the year you're getting back up. One of the things that I found out in life for longevity, for sustained longevity, you have to become an expert about getting up, getting back up. You have to be good about internal renewal. You have to be good about making choices that allow God to fulfill unfinished business. Okay, so go ahead and say it with me. Rejoice not against me, O thou mine enemy, for when I fall, gently, I will arise. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on. Someone shout, I will arise. So I want to say, there's a bunch of folks here, I heard the Lord say, God's going to help you release some things you've been carrying. You're going to let it go. You're going to wash it off. Forgetting those things that are behind you, you're going to turn your back on the past and release some things to God. Amen. The Lord's going to help you. He really is. He's going to help you become perfectly situated for what he wants to do in you. Everybody often talks about we're waiting for a move of God. God's waiting for the church to move. Okay, God's waiting for us. It's really true. We're waiting for something to happen out there. God's waiting for something to happen in here. So prayer team, would you join me down front? Lord, we love you. Just for a moment longer, would you spend just a moment with me in worship, and let's just attach our hearts to this, a decision and a dedication that I'm going forward this year. I'm going on, I'm getting up, letting go of some stuff. I'm going to overcome it. In Jesus' name. You are worthy of it all. Come on, let your hands to heaven, everybody. You are worthy of it all. Just tell him you love him. For from you are all things,
and to you are all things.
You deserve the glory. Come on, say that sentence. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. Jesus, you are. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things,
and to you are all things.
You deserve
the glory.
Yeah, you're doing good, you're doing good. Come on, open your heart afresh and anew. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you God, this year is filled with glory. I feel it. Kwame said it. It's going to be a year of unusual occurrences. Some supernatural things are going to happen on the earth. Some shakings in nations, but in the church, God is doing something important, significant, and eternal. He's moving in the heart of the church. Thank you, Lord. CJ. Lord, I pray for CJ tonight, and I thank you for your love for him. Thank you for your hand upon this young man's life. Thank you, God, for his many gifts, so many abilities, so many graces. And I heard the Lord say, son, you've always had a tender heart. You've always had an open heart to me. You've always been reachable. And I understand some of the things you feel. And I know the pain that you've been carrying. But I want you to know I'm with you to bless you. When you were just a little boy, I saw you at some camp and God visited you. There's a destiny that God has given you, a great destiny, a nation's destiny, a kingdom destiny. And you're in a time when God's awakening these things, these two things that have hurt you this last year, this last 6 months. God's taking out of your heart the arrows of disappointment and devastation. And he's doing a work of healing. God wants you to know you're not just going to make it through this. You're going to thrive and arise. And you've never been rude or obnoxious. You've never been prideful or arrogant. But no doubt, young man, you're called to be a giant slayer, a lion tamer, a nation taker, a history maker. And God's after that thing in you. And he's loving you. He's helping you. So many things are going to happen. God, thank you for a great year, CJ's life, a breakthrough year, a destiny year, a healing year, an alignment year. So many things, God. Your will be done and your kingdom come. God's changing your heart, your mind. He's healing your heart. He's changing your mind. He's bringing to your life some very important things. I'm going to use you to help hurting people, and I'm going to use you to reach people that others are afraid to reach. And the courage you've had since a little boy, a boldness is going to rise up for great achievement in your life. God, thank you for blessing this awesome man of God. Now I declare your will be done, your kingdom come. The things are being removed that can't stay because you're jealous for him and you have so many things for him. And you're loving him to a place of life and joy, healing and destiny. Come on. You are worthy of it. Come on. Come on, give it to the Lord tonight. You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
Come on, tell him, tell him, tell him.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things.
Listen, there's a person. There's a person here. You've been so overwhelmed by some discouraging things, and that you've never in your life really had thoughts of suicide and not living, but those thoughts have come, and the Lord told me he's going to take those thoughts away. I know you're really close to me. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. It's someone right here. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for your freedom, your healing for my precious sister tonight. Come on, keep praying with me, everybody. It was like watching three babies die. It was three devastating things. One, two, three. You said, I can't take this anymore. I don't know why so many things happen so quickly. But heard the Lord say, you're mine. I love you with an undefeatable love. And I'm lifting you out of a dark place, a despairing place. And I'm going to show you the things I have for you. For I'm going to make your heart sing again, your feet dance again. I see that you like to dance. God's going to make you dance more than you've ever danced for joy. He's going to help you. He's lifting you up. And tonight, I break the assignment of the devil against your mind. I command that all spirit of oppression to leave you now. In Christ's name, and I loosen freedom and deliverance. In Jesus' name. You deserve the glory. Come on, come on, give it to Jesus. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from I got a great word. I heard the Lord whisper this really cool thing. He says, there are some people here tonight, at least three people, scheduled for surgery. And I heard the Lord say, they're not going to need it. So if that's you, there's already an expectation or an actual schedule of surgery. Would you come down? Let me pray for you tonight.
Day and night, night and day, let incense rise.
Come on, give it to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Day and night, night and day,
thank you, God, for your miracle power. In the mighty name of Jesus. I heard the Lord say, you've broken through something in these last 6 months. Spiritual barrier, spiritual warfare, and your victory will be your son's inheritance. I am loosening my power because you prevailed. Now watch what I do, watch what I do, watch what I do, said the Lord. God, thank you, the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I loosen the power of God now into your body. God, thank you. Come on, keep praying, everybody. God, I thank you, Lord. You're canceling some surgeries tonight. And we just thank you, give you the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Ah, you're a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, I loosen the power of God. I saw three different things they want to do. But I declare three things God's doing right now in your body, in every part of your body now, in the name of Jesus. The power of God calm you. Pastor Kwame, keep praying for in the name of Jesus. Listen, I want to keep praying for people. I want to invite you down tonight. Thank you, by the way. I'm so honored that you come out on Wednesday nights, and it's really a fun time for us here because there's really a radical commitment level here. But if you want prayer tonight, if you've never received the gift of God's forgiveness to the person of Jesus, it's a gift. Grace is a gift. God loves you, and whoever calls upon the name of Jesus is saved. We want to pray for you. If you need physical healing, there's a real anointing for that tonight. We'd like to pray for you some more. And if you were to say, Pastor, I'm just going through a tough time, I just want someone to say the prayer of faith with me, let us pray for you. Is anyone needing prayer? Come forward just a little bit longer. Day and night. Day and night.
Night and day, let incense rise. Day and night. Night and day, let incense rise. Day and night. Night and day, let incense rise. Day and night. Night and day, let incense rise.
Day and night. Somebody with you to this church on Sunday. It's going to be outrageous. God bless you.